Podcast, and this is Brother Eric, and this is Incarcerated number 12, and I got my brother, my man, my ace, my best friend since before he was born. I watched him get born again. I watched him get born again I watched my man get incarcerated, Trey. Trey, when you think about that, what comes to your mind? I mean, it feels like a big shock to me even talking about it now.
Yeah, man. Like I said before, it feels very surreal. It's amazing to look back, and it's almost, can't even believe that it happened, that you went through it. It's very, like you said, it feels strange, man. But like I said, I guess the most frequent sentiment I get is just thankfulness, man. I'm thankful to be on this side of it.
And man,
I don't miss it at all.
We done hopped all around the place with this thing, man. I wish we could have been more uniform in the way we discussed everything. But, hey, this is Choose the Joy, man. We just keep it real. We just let it flow. How the Holy Ghost lead. You know, if something goes one way and we don't know why, we're just going to blame it on the Holy Ghost. let me ask you this, man. There's a spirit that I recognize from the outside. And I would go to visit. I had a group of people I went to go see, and I still do. And I wanted to see if you could pinpoint it, man, because it seems like there's a point that everybody I've talked to that are in jail that I had a one-on-one sit-down with, at one point or another, they became offended or extremely offended at somebody on the outside who they didn't have any problems with before they was locked up. Did I just observe that, just out of nowhere, or do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure, man. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I think it comes in lots of different forms. But I guess if I could... I don't know how I can pinpoint it specifically because I've seen it happen with different people. Sometimes it's parents, it's friends, it's significant others, it's people that were associated with what they're locked up for that aren't locked up. It's all kind of different things. But I think if I could pinpoint it, I would say that ultimately it's resentment, man, that you're in there and they ain't. And it's just, it feels very, it's not even a logical thing. It's not even in a sense where, you're wanting them to be, but it's almost, some of it, man, has a lot to do with, it's a self-pity that can turn into offense when somebody doesn't join in and they're not for you in the way that feels good at that time, man. It can feel real offensive very quickly. And so it happens in lots of different ways. I've seen that happen, man, in pretty much everybody that everybody's had to deal with. I'm not saying that everybody went to that place, but it comes,
right,
man. Like you said, it's somewhat of a spirit or something, man, but it does come. And ultimately, man, it's offense and frustration and hurt because of where you are. And it brings up all kind of hurts that may or may not even be related to how you got there. It's just interesting, man, how when you get there and you're so frustrated, there's something internally that wants to point the finger to all these reasons that might have contributed to you being there or why you're not out of there soon enough, what people aren't doing while you're there. But it all comes back to a self-centeredness where your focus and your frustration is about you being there and the state that you're in. And it ends up coming out towards some type of offense or frustration, anger, resentment. And so I've seen it play out in all kind of different relationships. And
I remember,
you don't have to go there, but
I remember at one point, I think you may have felt some kind of way about some people, but I remember at one point I came to see you. It was like you was a totally different person. He was like, man, he was almost in shock where your mind had went to. And you just started judging yourself. He was like, man, I don't know, you know. You're just different, man. It's like you just started looking and judging yourself and seeing that point in the finger. Was it right or it didn't even have no merit on it? What was coming to your mind?
Well, you know, the issue is, I think, for most people, and this is just generally not necessarily what having to do with being incarcerated, but when you get to that point of judging yourself, it's where things change. It's where you can get free. It's where you can actually have progress, because ultimately, you know, whatever problem you're having, if it's a sadness, a frustration, a hurt, even if there are people that contribute to that and there is fault elsewhere, the reason that anybody's in the state that they're in, man, has everything to do with themselves, man, and what they chose or didn't choose, or even just choosing to continue to embrace what somebody did wrong. You know, you just have to get to that place where you look at yourself and really realize that you're the problem, and not anything else. It's a victim mentality, man, that comes to you, man, that tries to get you to point the finger at other people and stay in that place. It tries to make you out to be a victim.
If something could come and just bother you, then you're the reason why you're letting it bother you, even though they might be doing something that hurts you or something. But
yeah,
I just remember learning this a long time ago. I think I was back in high school, and some people was doing some things that really got on my nerves. And I guess it was the Holy Spirit, man. He just showed me, I let what somebody else do get to me or cause me to be sad, and that means that they can control my actions for the rest of my life. You know what I'm saying? They can control me.
That's true.
Because if what they do can change my actions and how I feel, then I don't have any control over it. Because they can just do the same thing, and I'm going to respond the same way. So I started to look at myself. What could I have done differently? What was my fault in the matter? And
flip side of that that helped me, that's right along them same lines, is that even if you follow that out in the perspective that I guess it would have to have been the Lord that helped me with, is that if it's always somebody else's fault why I'm the way I am or what state I'm in, that means all of the powers with them for my life
right.
is better. That means that unless they do what I want, then I can't get better. I can't be happy or whatever the case may be. And, man, if you live there, you are just really stuck, man, because that's not going to happen if people have to conform to doing right in order for you to be right, mentally or emotionally or spiritually. You're not going to be right. And so that thing comes to people, man, in prison a lot, because it can feel like I said, you feel victimized in a sense. Whether what you're feeling has merit or not, it's just not the answer, because it's always comes back to you being the master of your own state of being and what you choose to embrace or accept. So, man,
let me ask you this, man. Just be 100 with me. This is talk radio. Because I was trying to be, especially with you, I was trying to be extra sensitive most of the time. Now, there's sometimes I might have to just kind of be more, you know, upfront about some things. But even those times, I think I just tried to be extremely sensitive. But was there a time that you felt like ill towards me, or I could have did something differently, or could have did something more?
Well, no, I didn't, man. Not towards you, I can't say. I don't think that, I think for you, man, you did during that whole time, man. I could always tell that you felt for me and for your dad and just for everybody involved. And so there was nothing, man, that I can even remember, man. I was just always so thankful, man, when you God blessed it where you could show up and visit anytime, man. And so I can't remember a time, man, where I mean, we've always come across differences in conversation and stuff like that, but as it relates to all of this, I just kind of think we were always, Not to say that you could relate necessarily to all my feelings, but I could tell that you probably gave thought to things, you know, and just considered my situation. So no, I can't really say so. If there is, I'm not remembering off the top of my head, but because man, like I said, that spirit you recognize, man, it comes to you, and it can be with anybody, man. I remember feeling that way towards my mom at one point in time. And she's the person that would do anything for me more than anybody. And
your mom so, is the ride or die. Like,
but I felt that way towards her, man.
Yeah.
I really did, man. And it wasn't like I really believed it in terms of like but I remember feeling that frustration with her and making some comments to her over the phone because I was just so frustrated. And so it wasn't that I had any belief that she was insensitive or that wouldn't do anything, but it was just, it was almost to the point of like, you know, with her, some of the times it was, you know, I remember at the very, very, very beginning, man, just encouragement, I rejected it. I was like that with my wife sometimes. I didn't want any of your encouragement if it don't have anything to do with me getting out. I don't want to hear about, you know.
I remember
have
one point your mom
and all that type of stuff.
You know? Shut up about a good day. I remember
you
at one point
have
your
a
mom
good day and go eat and stuff. I'm not.
Your mom was all about encouragement at one point, though. It's like every time she talked to you, she was, I mean, full of feeding you words of faith and believe. And,
oh, she was, man. She
I
was.
Mean, the whole.
She
I mean,
really
one
was.
Time I remember there was a period where that's all she would speak to you. I was like, man,
that's it,
God.
Man.
And I
she
remember
in
was,
there with
was
the
frustrated.
I was frustrated. Yeah. I was like, everybody wants to talk about the Lord out there being free and just, you're going to talk about the Lord and get off and go eat some lunch or something somewhere. My mind would always go to a carnal place. When we get off the phone, get through talking about the Lord, you're going to lay on your bed and watch some TV. Like, man, you can't talk to me about it. And so, man, it's really, like I said, at the core of it, I guess, if you be honest, it's just a self-pity. It's a frustration that man, that, you know, you feel like can't nobody relate to, man. If they ain't in there, man, you can't tell me nothing, man. It's like you remember the dude on the, I shouldn't even probably bring this up, but on the Biggie Small CD years ago. What was the second one? Yeah, dude, doing the interview, said, man, you can't be asking me no questions, man. Who is you?
No, I don't remember that, Trey.
Yeah, you can't be asking me no questions, man. Who is you to be asking me any questions?
Yeah.
That's how you feel, man. And it made me think about that, man. But yeah.
But looking back, though, it's like, does it almost feel like it didn't even happen. It's like it's really a thing of the past. Let me ask you this, Trey, before you ask that. Do you ever have dreams about being incarcerated?
I do. I have had some, man.
Wow.
The ones that I've had that are the most prevalent are ones about some kind of, and it's not, it ain't been that often, but it's been dreams about some kind of misunderstanding where they tell me I have to go back. The worst dreams. Those are the ones that I have. And so that happens every now and again. But in terms of the question you asked previously, yeah, I do. It does. It's amazing. I had guys tell me, man, you know, that had been, because most of the guys, when you go to prison, jail too, but most of the guys that go to prison, man, have been there before. A lot of them have been there before. And I had a conversation about, man, how could you have been here and come back to this? And one of the things that I heard a few times was that, man, when you get out and you get disattached from this, man, the realness of the experience and all of the emotion that goes into waking up every day and the struggle of it, you kind of lose it. It's not your reality anymore. And it's interesting, man. I can see, I remember, man, being in traffic a few days ago. And, man, it was frustrating the daylights out of me. I just did not want to be in traffic.
Right.
And but the thing that came to my mind was I remember specifically thinking about traffic and many other things in days in prison, thinking, man, I would kill to be in traffic and that. How could
right.
I ever have been frustrated about something so trivial to where
right.
that actually bothers me? Like, I wouldn't, man. It would. And so I used to think, hey, man, the problems that I thought were real problems on the outside, it's not even a problem. And
so you
got to
make a
am.
Conscious it, decision to be
you
thankful.
You have to make a conscious, you have to really purpose your heart, man, to remember to be thankful and to keep that relative understanding of how blessed you are relative to what you've been through, because it don't just necessarily automatically stay. Sometimes, you know, you do remember certain things, but whatever you're living in your constant state day to day to day, it kind of becomes your norm, kind of becomes what you begin to expect, and you can kind of lose touch with that other stuff, man, and be less, you know, you just kind of lose it, man, and I can see that being the case, man, and not that I have told you, but you have to purpose to remember, you really do. I could see how in 2 years from now, man, I could be so detached from that. And some of that you want, because I don't like remembering, thinking about a lot of that stuff. It's not something you really want to hold on to. But
right.
at the time, it feels like something you could never, because it's your reality every day. And so it, but yeah, it's interesting, the dynamic.
Let me ask you one more question about jail, then I'm going to hit on the system again. But let me ask you this. If there's a mother out there, or a father, or a best friend, and their relative or buddy, whoever, that just got locked up. What's the best mm-hmm. thing they can do for them?
Man, support them and just in terms of, you know, as much as they can, visiting them and talking with them. And then, man, sharing the word with them, if they can receive it. Now, it's going to be, you know, if they try, if this is not a person who's ever really been receptive to the word, doesn't really know Christ, is not interested in spiritual things. You know, I don't recommend bombarding them with the Bible and scriptures. But what they could do is pray. And I had so many people run across my path that it happened just because of this, man. What they could do is pray what Jesus said to pray, that God would send the right laborer across their path, man. God will orchestrate things to get them in the right pod, in the right building, in the right guild with somebody who's got the Lord. And it's much different if you can get it from somebody in there. You can go around somebody in there that's living what you have to live and can really share the Lord with you, where you can be encouraged by what they're saying and how you see them live it, if they really have joy, if they have peace. And you'll get to see them actually, you'll have to see them face struggles and overcome it. And but that's one of the major prayers that I would pray, man, if I knew somebody, man, that the Lord would orchestrate things and get them somewhere where they could get to somebody who could share the word with them and encourage them and be a strength to them and provide instruction for them, man, just in the word, and be a really godly friend to them. That's what I would pray.
Wow. Amen. Okay, well, let me ask you this, Trey. We're going to just flip the script real quick because we got about 10 minutes left. What we talked about a guy on y'all's case, and hey, how's it going? Hey, I just had to say hi to my neighbors. I guess y'all know I'm not in the studio right now, but and this guy, me and somebody else was talking about this situation. I want to know the truth, Trey.
Okay.
He paid X amount of money. We talked about it on the show. He paid X amount of money, hundreds of thousands, well, about $180,000 or something like that to get out. And his lawyer advised him to do it. And we've been talking about these lawyers. And all that money that got paid out, how much cash you say that was paid in fines? And when I say fines, I'm putting up quotation marks with my hands.
You're right. Are you talking about on the case in its entirety?
Yeah, on y'all's case. Fines. Money, just cash.
Over between $700,000 and $800,000.
Now, Trey, did any of that money go to their lawyer?
And now, Eric, you know, I can't. I would be remiss if I tried to to say what I knew happened. I can't say that I know. But I will say this, in his position, what I do know that he was specifically frustrated with. Because, of course, if this is a man who can pay, his was actually $293,000, the gentleman that you're
talking
about.
Goodness gracious.
And for that gentleman in particular, the thing that was frustrating as it relates to the lawyer is that his wife tried to, because you got to realize, if you got $293,000 in verifiable cash, then you can get out.
Right.
And so his wife brought money, a cashier's check for, I think this gentleman's bond was $150,000. She brought a cashier's check for, I think, $12,000, $15,000, whatever 10% was to actually pay the bond. And the lawyer said, "No, we don't need to do that. We're not going to do that." So his lawyer,
his own lawyer, wouldn't bond him out.
Now, this is his lawyer. His lawyer was instrumental in advising him, I guess I'll say, is using the lightest term, advising him to stay in jail, which, of course, puts pressure on you to, because if that gentleman, man, had have bonded out, number one, he would have never, he would have got the same deal he got bonding out and paying the $15,000 or $12,000 for the bond and pay his lawyer that he would have gotten for paying $293,000. Now, he did end up, and I know he paid that lawyer specifically to the lawyer. The lawyer ended up getting paid, I think, $15,000 or $20,000. Now, I don't know if that was, I don't know if he got an additional amount out of the $293,000, but it was very frustrating to me to hear that the lawyer, man, didn't want to get his client out and had advice for him to stay in, which is, I mean, that's on the district attorney side of things to want the offender to stay in so that you can pressure them and have leverage to get them to take deals and pay money and do whatever it takes to get out. Fighting a case from the outside is tremendously different than fighting from the inside, and they know that, because as time goes by, when you're on the inside, it's in their favor because you're more and more tired, you're wore out, finances are run down, your family's being destroyed, things are happening. On the outside, you're free. And so, you know, as time goes by, you know, the leverage is not on their side. And so they would always prefer any offender that they have charged to stay incarcerated. And it was frustrating to hear that his lawyer went along with that and prevented him from getting out, you know. So I remember hearing
about that. I just felt so bad for the guy. I mean, one, on the case, he didn't sell any drugs. You know, he wasn't a drug dealer, from what I observed now. But he got pinched for just, you know, loaning out money or giving money or whatever. And I guess when you're the money man like that, they just try to hit you. But for his own lawyer not to want him to get out and bail out, that's the best thing you could do in that situation, is to bail out.
It's the best thing you can do. That's the first thing that they work on. If you talk to a lawyer who's really on your side, is getting you out, because you can help them. You can help them help you better from the outside. And but you know, man, it's just a messed up thing, man. It's a messed up thing. I felt really bad for him as well. I really did. But I knew that he was going to do whatever it took to get out, man. And but I believe he has a gag order where he can't discuss this.
And I heard, so that, heard that too. But I also heard that he told somebody that the check was made out to the DA.
I wouldn't be surprised, man. Now that part I cannot vouch for, but I wouldn't be surprised.
The check was made out to him. And that's another thing I heard. So when you bond somebody out, you got to have a bond hearing, and they got to make sure all the money is clean money, is good money. But with the fines, they just take a check.
Yeah.
It don't have to be clean money.
It doesn't matter what it is. It's only dirty when they don't have it. They have it magically clean.
Oh, man, Trey. Well, listen, man, we want to do a Q&A. I don't know how we're going to do it, man, because we're so spur of the moment, man. But I would love to get people on here that want to ask you questions. I know some people got questions for you, and I know you're willing to answer anything. We'll see about coming on tomorrow, man. I gotta close it up, man. But to stay out of incarceration, whether you're in jail or in prison or not, to stay out of being incarcerated is to give your heart to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. I remember Pastor Mike said when he was locked up, he got saved. He said even the prison walls looked beautiful. He got saved in jail. The light came on the inside. And, man, he was just free inside of prison. And now he's, you know, very successful. But give your heart to the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. Just get on your knees. Don't intellectualize this thing. Don't, well, was he this, was he that? Just get on your knees and call on the name Jesus. Let him do his part. You do your part. And he'll manifest himself to you. He'll show you he's real. Okay. So any last words?
Man, no, you said it well. I couldn't have said it any better myself, man. I look forward to the Q&A.
I was going to ask you, did you have any last words before I said that? But I was like, no, he's going to try to say that. So let me go ahead and say it first. Man, I love you, Trey, man. Thanks for coming on again. This is
man,
the
I love
Choose
you, man.
To
Thanks
Joy.
So
love you, man. This is the Choose to Joy podcast, Incarcerated number 12. I am Brother Eric. That's my brother, Trey Gupton. Thanks for tuning in. God bless you. We are out.